Yes, indeed. It is time once again for some help for your vehicle. If you have trouble with your car, truck, or van, you got to bring it in for service, your favorite dealer or favorite shop, and you want to know ahead of the game here what could be ailing, you can call or text Dan Burns, ASC certified technician from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, who has helped us out, our CCO listeners out, for many years. Too many to count, I think. Maybe we'll just leave it there. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Denny.
How are you doing, and how are things at Lloyd's this past week?
I'm cold this morning. How about you?
No, I'm comfy here in my little home studio, fortunately. But it's definitely the last reported temp was 31 degrees, and I think what Rusty say, maybe highs Monday like 38. So, yeah, it's definitely we've somewhat turned the corner, but although there'll still be some 50s, though.
I was just going to say it won't stick, will it, Denny?
No. We'll kind of ease into it here and there. If you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. Dan helps us out here till about 7:45. So, if you have any issues with your vehicle and you want to get an answer, don't wait. Call or text Dan as soon as you think of it. 651-461-9226. If you want to call and chat with Dan, great. If you just want to send him a text, that'd be great too. 651-461-9226. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me when I was a kid, there are different viscosities now, but from winter to summer, did people change viscosities, the weight, winter weight oil? Am I just dreaming this?
No, I think that's true, Denny. Very commonly in the summer you would run in the winter you would run 5W30 in your car, and then in the winter or in the summer you would switch to either 1030 or 1040, so that's certainly led to seasonal oil changes to change viscosity, and not so much anymore. Pretty much your many cars nowadays, it's a 0-20, which is a pretty thin viscosity anyway. They have designed the engines and the vehicles to run on that all year round. And, the lightweight oil like that has also added to cars starting much better in the wintertime. And that's just true. It does not get thick. And it, a 10W40 oil when it was 30 below out, that was some pretty thick stuff. And it made it really difficult to turn the engine over.
Yeah. I think that my son Tony's car takes 0-16, which when I looked at it, it looks like water.
Yeah, I know.
It's getting really thin.
Yeah, I don't know where the limit is or how far this will go.
Yeah, who knows? 651-461-9226. Texter says this, Dan. I have a 2009 Toyota RAV, 115,000 miles on it. At times, I hear a shimmy somewhere underneath the car when I'm driving at around 30 miles an hour and when I'm making turns or if there are dips in the road. I've mentioned it to the techs at his or her repair shop. No one yet can figure it out. The RAV has newer tires. Alignment is fine. I hear the shimmy. I don't feel it. It's not a grinding noise. It's just kind of a shimmy noise. Do you have any wild guesses what problem that could be, says the texter? It would be a wild guess.
I do have a wild guess.
Do you?
And just by what you're describing, I bet it's a tinny rattle that you're hearing. And I'll bet it's a heat shield on your exhaust. And under the right acceleration, under the right temperature, and under the right conditions, it rattles a little bit. And I think if you bring it into your shop and ask them to see if your exhaust has any rattles, what I would do is take a rubber hammer and just tap on the exhaust. And that's how you find a loose heat shield. You'll hear it rattle. And sometimes we can remove the heat shield. Sometimes we can weld it back into place how it's supposed to be. Sometimes we can put a clamp around it and take care of it that way. There's lots of different repairs for it. But it sounds to me like that's what you're describing. You can't feel it, but you can hear it.
I think you and maybe your crews at Lloyd's years ago on an older vehicle, I think it did something similar to one of my cars or trucks. It was, I don't think it was a heat shield, although that, because sometimes an exhaust pipe, if there is some breaking, right, that can bump against some metal, right,
too? That's true, too. And, you know, sometimes the brackets that are welded will get loose and rattle that way. There's all sorts of different things that will happen. But, yeah, a rattly exhaust is a pretty common welded will get loose and rattle that way. There's all sorts of different things that will happen. But, yeah, a rattly exhaust is a pretty common repair that we chase to try and figure out where it's coming from.
Okay. 651-461-9226. Again, if you have any kind of a vehicle problem and you want to get an answer, don't wait. Dan will be with us for just about maybe a little less than a half hour from now. So don't wait. Give us a call or send a text, 651-461-9226. Here's another text, Dan. It said, my husband accidentally put ethanol in his Ford Edge. It was a quarter full before filling. Will that hurt the engine? What can he do now?
Well, if I don't think it'll hurt anything. If the vehicle's not designed to run on it, it might not run very well. And so I guess my suggestion would be I'll wait and, you know, I would suggest that you wait and see how it does. But there's a pretty good chance that you're going to have that drained out and have fresh fuel put in there. Because if it's not done, and I don't know which blend of ethanol they're talking about, you know, if it's E15 or something like that, and you had a quarter of a tank in there already, I think that'll probably be fine. If it's the E85, then I'm not so sure. I think you might have trouble with that.
But if I was to, which I have to do later today, is fill up my tank, does that changes, doesn't it? Isn't during the winter, during the summer, around these parts of CCO line, is there not an additive, and not an additive, but a percentage
blend
of ethanol?
Yeah,
a blend.
You know, I've heard that, Denny, and I'm not sure if that's true anymore. Cars are more designed to run on the ethanol all year round, so I'm not sure if they change the blend anymore. They used to do that because if you got too much ethanol in there in the summertime, it would boil and you'd get vapor lock symptoms going on. But I'm not sure if they do that anymore. Yeah. Probably not. I think they probably have that figured out.
All right. Let's do this. Let's take a break. We have more questions to get answered here. If you have a car care question and you want to talk to ASC certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, or you want to send Dan a text, 651-461-9226. 717 here on a Saturday morning, 31 degrees. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Car Care Show here on CCO. Denny Long, along with ASE Certified Technician Dan Burns, who is hanging out at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Where are you guys located, Daniel?
We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria in St. Paul. You can find us on the web, Denny, at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give us a call. The number is 651-228-1316.
Very good. We'll give you that info before Dan leaves us, which is about close to 7:45 this morning. Any kind of a car care question you may have, call it in or text it in before we run out of time. 651-461-9226. Let's grab some phone calls, Dan. I think Sarah is first up. You're calling in from Hugo, I believe. Thank you for waiting, Sarah. What's your question for Dan?
Yes, good morning. I have a Ford 2010 F-150, and it rattles when I'm either, like, rolling or stopped. It rattles. Maybe somebody said maybe it's the timing chain. Does that sound like it could be?
Yeah, that could be. The timing chain, if the timing chain expands and they do stretch over time, and if it has a lot of miles on it, it certainly has stretched, and it can stretch to where it there's a spring adjusters in there that can take up some of that slack, But sometimes those adjusters wear out, and that will certainly cause the chain to get loose. And sometimes those, you know, the changes get so long that the adjuster can't take care of it anymore. But that being said, if that's going on, I think that it's time for you to have that professionally diagnosed, because if that's the case, what you don't want to have happen is that timing chain or the timing of the engine to jump time, because that can cause some engine damage. So I wouldn't go with that for too long without having that professionally diagnosed and see if indeed it is the fact that the timing chain and the guides and the adjuster need to be replaced.
Okay. Thanks, Sarah. Appreciate the call. Kevin, I believe, is next up here on the phone. Kevin, what is your question for Dan?
Yeah, I got a 2018 Dodge three-quarter ton, and I got four-wheel drive with all that good stuff, you know, and I was backing down to the river once, and one side of the river, or the road, it's not a good road, was high on the left and low on the right. And there was a little rain up there, so it got a little greasy. And I have a drop trailer hitch on. And I slid, so I locked it in and got out of there. And when I was going down the road after I was done fishing, my ABS light came on, and it said service soon, but if I hit a bump, it'll shut off, and if I keep driving, and it'll like I'm driving right now, and it goes off and on. And it's like, did I bump a wire, bend a wire or something on there, you suppose?
Boy, that's kind of what it sounds like, doesn't it? It certainly sounds like a loose connection somewhere. The question is where. If you wanted to climb under there and do some checking yourself, you know, the ABS sensors are on, probably on that vehicle, probably on all four wheels, and you could just you know, do some unplugging and plugging the sensors back in and see if that takes care of it for you. If you were willing to and wanted to bring it in for some professional help, we could put a scan tool on it, and I would know exactly which sensor is causing the trouble. We would find out if it's just a connection or if it's the sensor itself or what's going on. But like I say, if you want to start yourself, you could just, you know, do some unplugging and plugging into the sensors and see if that takes care of it for you.
Very good. Thank you. Again, here's the phone number. It's also the text number, 651-461-9226. Here's a text, Dan. It says, 2012 Jeep Rubicon. Texter says, I have not used the heat in a while. Turned on the heat. An hour or so later, the engine light came on. Turned the heat off. 2 days later, engine light went out. Could this be a thermostat problem?
Well, it could be, but it's an easy check to see, you know, what the check engine light is about, and it might have something to do with the heat. It might not at all.
Could be coincidental, maybe.
Could be, and there's 100 different codes that could be stored in there. So, you know, we're just guessing that it has to do with the heat. More likely not. I would say there's probably something else that's going on that's causing that light to come on. But I think I would bring it in and have that checked and find out what's going on.
How does that? I know we're going to head to the weather here in a moment, but how would you and your crews, the techs, check that? I mean, what's the process?
Well, there's diagnostic trouble codes that are anytime your check engine light has come on, the computer stores what was going on at the time. It stores the code, and we just go in and access that code, find out what it's relating to, if it's relating to an engine misfire, the evaporative system, the coolant temperature, the air temperature. There's, like I say, 100 different codes that could be stored in there, and we have to see what the code is, and then that gives us a general direction as to what's going on and where to start. And then, you know, in the book all gives you trouble trees to follow regarding a code. But we, of course, as professionals, have moved beyond that a little bit. And generally, we kind of know by experience where to head with that code and how to take care of it.
All right, very good. Hang on, Dan. We're going to take a break, see what the forecast looks like here for the Twin Cities and surrounding area. Stay with us on our Car Care Show. We'll continue for a few more minutes here on News Talk 830 WC. Good morning. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of CCO's Car Care Show here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour. Thanks to our friends Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul helping you out today. Dan, we have callers and we have texters, and I know we have a limited time here, so let's get back to it. I think Tim's calling in first up here from Bertha. Tim, thanks for waiting. What is your question for Dan?
Hi, Danny and Dan. My mom is going from living in a home with an attached garage to a senior apartment. So my wife and I are going to put a remote starter in her 2009 Ford Fusion. She's getting a lot of advice from other people about getting a head bolt heater put in. And I personally don't think that's necessary. If she can hit a button and start her car every day, I don't think the head bolt heater is needed on top of the remote starter. What do you think, Dan?
We haven't installed any engine heaters in years for lots of reasons. The main one being they're not necessary. Secondly, on many engines, there's just no access point to install an engine heater. So I agree with you that with today's technology and a good strong battery. Thin motor oil, and if it's severely cold, you know, 20 below zero or colder, just leave it alone and it'll be fine. You don't have to start it if you're not going anywhere. If you are going somewhere, then certainly have to, you know, keep it running every day. But if it's if you're just letting it sit while you're waiting for the weather to warm up, leave the car alone and it'll be fine.
Okay, great. Thank you, Tim. Let's go to St. Paul. I think Armando is waiting for us here in the wings there. Armando, good morning. What is your question, please?
Good morning, Danny. Good morning, Dan. I have a 21 Ram 3500 dually. And when I get to the 55, 60-mile-an-hour drive, it just bounds where your cap comes off of your head. I got several persons telling me these are the wheels. So today I'm getting new six wheels on it, and I'm trying to get an alignment on it. They tell me they can't do in a dually, and I just want to see if the expert give me a little feedback on this. What should I do to get this ride a little smooth?
Well, I think you're on the right track. That the noise is probably coming from the tires, and if you get the tires replaced, that should take care of the noise. You want to have the alignment done because of the. You don't want the tires to wear out again right away because they're expensive. So I think that's also a good plan. There are truck shops and truck facilities that can align a dually vehicle. And so you just need to find one that's able to do it. The shop where you're having the tires put on, they're probably not equipped for it. But there are alignment racks that will take care of that. So I think you just need to do your research and find one. And I think it's a good idea that you have that done.
Okay. Well, yeah, good. Glad there are facilities you can find some with. A little research. Thanks, Armando. Speaking of tires, Texter says, should I put air in my tires in the winter when the tires are cold?
You should always, yes. You should absolutely check your, well, I should back that up. When it's severely cold out and depending upon who you're doing, where you're getting your air from, what you don't want to have happen is where there's moisture in the air and the moisture can freeze right away and cause troubles with the valve stem leaking. But that being said, going into winter now, air pressures are all going to go down a little bit. And so before it gets cold, go in and get the air or the pressure in your tires put up to the proper level, and then you'll be set and you won't have to touch it when it is severely cold below zero.
One more quick one, Dan, then we have to say goodbye. A 2013 Honda Pilot, 180,000 miles on it. They plan on driving it to Colorado and Arizona this winter and hope that it'll be dependable. Quickly, what would you recommend service work before they head out?
Well, take it in and take it into the shop and tell them just that. And they'll, you know, change the oil, certainly, and check the tires and the, you know, steering and suspension and all of those sorts of things to be sure that it's safe to go. But, I for sure would bring it into a professional shop, tell them just that story that you're going on a long trip, and they'll know what to look at to be sure that it'll be safe for you.
Absolutely. All right, Dan, thanks again for the time today. How do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's?
Well, come on over, Denny. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give us a call, 651-228-1316.
Thanks again, Dan. Have a good week, and we'll do another show next week. In the meantime, take care. Stay warm.
Sounds good. Thanks, Denny.
Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, Jack Farrell's Wine Chat straight ahead here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO.